come back and get into a bunch of Not Then He Writes stuff, good stories of the day, got some entertainment news, all coming up with Melissa and James here on Mornings at WFHR.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez in New York. President Biden has asked Congress to save the day and pass a resolution to prevent a crippling railroad strike nationwide. Tony Cardwell is president of one of the workers' unions that rejected a Biden administration brokered contract deal.
The carriers fully understood the whole time that likely some form of imposition would happen. Agreement would be imposed on us. And so they didn't bargain in good faith to the sense that they were fearing a strike. And it's unfortunate that government bureaucrats are giving them cover.
One of the union's objections, no paid sick leave. It's safe to drink the tap water again in Houston. People who live there have just gotten the go-ahead to cook with it and bathe in it, too. CBS's Jim Krasula.
Some 2 million people in Houston, Texas, the nation's fourth biggest city, had been under a boil water order since Sunday. That's when a power outage at a water purification facility caused pressure to drop. Dozens of schools and businesses were forced to close.
A new law may allow as many as 1 million people, mostly Marines and their families, to sue the government over contaminated water at Camp Lejeune. Correspondent Catherine Herridge spoke with a vet named Bruno Teixeira, who already has.
Why are you suing the government?
For damages. I mean, what they caused. We were innocent. We didn't know anything about this.
So what do you say to critics who say this is a money grab?
Well, I'll let them be exposed to toxic water for about 3 months and then let them get back to me.
There's stormy weather headed for the south today. The forecast calls for the possibility of tornadoes near Memphis. Josh Harper is Deputy Director of Emergency Services for DeSoto County, Mississippi.
We're testing all of our alert emergency notification systems. We're checking all the boxes and preparing for worst case scenario and hoping for the best.
A storm system could bring snow to Denver and Minneapolis. Russia continues to cut off power and heat to millions of Ukrainians with missile and drone strikes. Correspondent Cammy McCormick is traveling with the Secretary of State in Romania.
The focus here for Secretary Blinken is on Russia's continuing bombardment of Ukraine.
Russia has turned parts of the Black Sea into a war zone. We've seen missiles from warships coming into Ukrainian cities and towns.
The U.S. and its NATO allies are unveiling new support for Ukraine to help it restore power and heat, and accusing Vladimir Putin of using winter as a weapon of war. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, Bucharest, Romania.
So much for Nestle's peanut allergy treatment. The Wall Street Journal says the company may put Palforzia up for sale. The drug gradually exposes patients to higher doses of peanut powder. But Nestle reports sales were just meh. S&P futures up 1. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
WFHR weather is sponsored by Hartle Monuments, still at 1915 Baker Drive, Wisconsin Rapids. The monument you create will be remembered by family and friends for years to come. Hartle Monuments will make it special. Let our experience show. Hartle Monuments, since 1901.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with isolated rain showers likely. High of 40, winds out of the southeast 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 36.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, everybody. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, Hour 3, 9:04 on the clock. Your host, James J. Mailoff here, and I'm joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning, good morning.
We hope you're having a good Tuesday out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. Fun stuff coming up this hour. Some entertainment news, some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, all that coming up. Right now, what are our favorite holiday smells?
Fresh baked cookies.
Yep. Right away popped in my head. Immediately yep. popped in my head. My mom used to do what a lot of parents do, what a lot of you know people did, giving out cookies for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have a lot, but people just loved her cookies. And everybody had their like favorite kind, like snickerdoodles or this kind or whatever. So she'd make, we'd have like about four or five card tables out and like eight different types of cookies. And this woman would just like a bakery, just go to town. And it was one of my, it's just one of my favorite memories when she would do this year after year, just making and the care she would put into these packages to give to people and everything. And of course, the cookies that my sister and I and my brother could steal.
Because there were so many, they didn't even notice that 10 of them were gone.
I thought so, at least. That's what I thought. I have come to find
out. She was divvying up the plates.
Yeah, I have come to find out recently that my mom knew we were doing this, so she would make more cookies.
Make extra.
Yeah, yeah. Really thought I was getting away with something for years there.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't really work that way, James.
No, moms always know.
They do.
Thanksgiving is over, so it's straight into Christmas news. An early Christmas poll asked people to rank their favorite holiday smells, and we're going to get into these. Now, this is a little suspicious because there's some interesting things here. The poll was done by a group called the Real Christmas Tree Board. but the rank, so I'm not sure what that is. I want to look into that a little bit more, actually. But so let's look through these. Let's see what we got here. See if cookies end up on the list. We'll start at the bottom. We'll start at number 8.
Okay.
Number eight, chestnuts.
The smell of chestnuts.
Yeah, I guess I don't know if I've smelled that or not.
I mean, you know, it's the song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. But who does that anymore?
I don't know for many how many other people can say this or feel this way or not, but the voice of Christmas for me is Nat King Cole.
Yes.
It always is. So you're absolutely right. First thing that, as soon as I didn't even finish the word chestnuts, and I had his voice in my head. Yeah.
Right. But I don't think I've ever smelled a chestnut.
Me neither. I really don't think I feel like, I had to have, but now the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I don't know if I have or not. Mm-hmm. Number 7, fire burning in the fireplace.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
Wood smoke. Yep.
Now that one's more just the smell of winter to me.
Yes, in some ways. It smells like home. Mm-hmm. Because when I was growing up, we always had wood heat in our house. Mm-hmm. And then my mom had a actual cook stove in her kitchen for a number of years. And then she got rid of that and put in a wood stove. So it smells like home. It smells like just warmth and comfort. And that does make you think about family time and Christmas.
Yeah, same here. When we first moved up here, my Nana Papa had a fireplace, and I'd never been around a fireplace, really. My grandmother and grandfather had one in Illinois, but I don't remember it being on very often. So to us, we just thought this was amazing, you know? my sister and I, we thought the fireplace was so cool.
Fire inside? Whoa.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it smelled and felt so good, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number 6, peppermint.
Yeah, that's definitely a very Christmas smell.
Oh, very. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought about it, though, to be honest. I wouldn't have thought of it right away, but yeah.
Besides cookies, the first two things that popped in my head were peppermint and pine.
Oh, cool. Number 6, gingerbread. Yeah, definitely. I don't even know if I see gingerbread outside of December.
Pretty much no. Like ginger snap cookies I'll see outside of Christmas time, but gingerbread itself, and you know, like gingerbread houses and that kind of stuff. Although we still do need to make a gingerbread house out of Pop-Tarts, I think.
Oh, yes. Yes, 100 times. The only, I don't know if I can be in on the construction of that one, though. I really like Pop Tarts. Yeah,
but
I really.
But you know what? You're going to need a window, and you're going to need, you know, edges trimmed off, so you'd be useful for cleaning up the extras.
Well, when I first started in construction when I was a kid, I was a runner. I would measure things and run them up to people and all that. So I could probably, maybe I could do that for the ginger house. You know, I could take there a couple bites off of a piece if you need it, and I could.
We need this trimmed by a third on the upper left corner, James.
Yeah, I got it. I'm on it. Measuring
no
it out.
But no teeth marks.
Yeah, measuring it out and everything. Number four on the list, a classic hot chocolate.
Yes. That reminds me of sledding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because when you come in from sledding, you want to have a hot chocolate.
That's snowball fights, making a snowman, all of those.
And you're exhausted and soaking wet.
There's something about hot chocolate that just, it makes everything like warm and better.
Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon, number three on the list, big time.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose.
Now, this is the only one that I can think of on the list where it's not just the season, but like all year round, I'll smell cinnamon. And it doesn't always make me think of necessarily Christmas, but I like the smell. And it is something it's year round is a smell that you have. Some of these other ones you don't have that year round. You're not drinking a lot of hot chocolate in July. You're not.
Not usually, unless you like hot chocolate in your coffee.
Yeah, sure.
The cinnamon actually makes me think more of Thanksgiving than Christmas.
Huh. Any reason, or?
I don't know. I guess I think cinnamon, Thanksgiving, peppermint, Christmas.
Makes sense.
Divvy up your spices some way.
That adds up. That adds up. That's great.
They do. They go well together, too.
Number two, cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, definitely.
I think it's funny that gingerbread and cookies are separated, because gingerbread is a cookie. It's not bread.
When else do you have gingerbread but other than in cookies? Like, it seems a little nitpicky there. Mm-hmm. And usually they do this because they got to have 10, you know? So they fudge one of them to get to the round out to 10. There's only 8 on this list. I feel
they
like
they needed to not have 7.
I guess so, yeah. I guess so. And number one, Christmas trees. 56% of us said it's one of their favorite holiday smells.
There's the pine.
Yeah. Pine. Yeah. I mean, and honestly, I think almost every season I have a smell of a tree attached to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or maybe not. Maybe that's not as accurate. Because I was thinking in the summer, like the smell of cut grass.
Okay.
In the fall, the smell of the leaves.
Yeah. And then the spring, the smell of the flowers on the trees.
Yes, yes.
And winter, you have the pine. But I would argue that the smell of grass is not that far removed from the smell of trees. I always was accused in my teenage years that I liked things that smelled like a bush. Because we'd go to Bath and Body Works and I would gravitate toward, you know, like fresh cut grass. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things that are like rain air, earthy things.
Yes,
but I don't know why my friend Deanne always said, you just like things that smell like a bush. Okay. You're not wrong.
What
can
you do with that? Yeah, how can you counter that? Like, okay, I guess I do.
I like the earth. Okay.
You got me. I'm a fan of the earth.
So the only Black Friday shopping my boyfriend and I did is that he stocks up on soap at Bath & Body Works because they have their buy one, get one free sale on Black Friday. So he had gotten what he wanted. He's like, well, should we stock up on some like just bathroom hand soap? Because they have this great sale. So you can get a $7 to $9 bottle of soap for free, you know, buy one, get one. So they're only, you know, $4, $5 bucks, whatever. So he made me pick them out. They're all tree scents. Got mahogany, balsam, spruce, cedar. I did get two that were different. Ocean, rain.
That is awesome. Hey,
it still holds up.
I'm sure it does. And that's what you, I mean, to be fair, you know, that's kind of what you get.
You like what you like.
Yeah, yeah. Before we go to break, I did want to take a quick look as we're going to get you ready and get into an entertainment segment when we come back, taking a look at our schedule for the week here. Of course, when Mel and I are done hanging out, we will get into Morning Magazine to kick off the week. Casey Nemeth is going to join us, caregiving support coordinator with the ADRC. Looking forward to talking with Casey. And in part two, we'll talk to Sally Kistner, executive director at the Arts Council, Eric Brittenocker, director of the Performing Arts Center, and Ted Vigil, who is going to be joining us for the Rocky Mountain Christmas coming up with the Arts Council.
Oh, good.
It's going to be a great conversation. Looking forward to that. A little bit later tonight, it is a ball night on all of our stations here at WFHR. Tip-off at 7 for Wisconsin men's basketball taking on Wake Forest. Then on our sister station, Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI at 7:06, coverage will begin for Lincoln High School's basketball as they are taking on Appleton West. Randy and Don on the call. You know it's going to be good with those two.
Oh, yeah.
And taking a look at Morning Magazine for the week, on Wednesday, in part two, we're going to welcome in Catherine Eckelhart. She is the new director over at McMillan Memorial Library.
Nice.
We have not gotten to talk to Catherine yet. I cannot wait to talk to her. I've heard nothing but good things and really intrigued by getting a chance to get to know her a little bit better and our audience to get to know her.
Yeah, that's exciting.
On Thursday, MSTC Mid-State will be in with us. We'll have Alisa Sullivan in. We'll talk with her. And then in part two, we will have in Allison Johnjack from the University of Extension Wood County. Talk about Allison is the cranberry outreach specialist over there. So we're talking cranberries.
Nice.
On Friday, State Assembly District 72 Representative Scott Krug will join us. Looking forward to talking with Scott.
Oh, good. Hopefully he'll have some updates for you.
And in part two, we wrap up the week of Morning Magazine talking to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. The Miracle on 34th Street crew is going to be with us. Director Susan Egrin, Andy Kleckler, Chris Williams, Linda Garski, all going to be in studio with us.
Awesome. That'll be fun.
It's going to be a really fun week. We got some great guests lined up. A big shout out to Pam Hilke and the fantastic work she does there.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Thank you, Pam.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with some entertainment news and more fun here on Mornings at WFHR.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes, even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's Yap advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with isolated rain showers likely. High of 40, winds out of the southeast 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicic. Currently, it's 36.
Thanks a lot, Jen. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:18 on the clock. Didn't get me that time, clock.
You're doing good.
Yeah, gotcha that time.
Every time but once today.
One time. That one time, though.
Let it go, James. Don't make me sing at you.
Well, you know, I could feel bad, but then I look at Mariah Carey and I don't feel as bad.
Oh.
That's our first entertainment story. If you consider yourself, quote, the queen of Christmas to the point where you believe you should actually own the title legally, then
really?
you should probably be able to remember the lyrics to the most famous song, the reason why you're calling yourself this.
Oh, wow.
Mariah Carey recently made a lot of noise when she wanted to legally claim herself as the queen of Christmas. A lot of people came out of the woodworks and said, you can't do that. That's ridiculous. And she was not able to do it. So that was that part of it. But then this happened. Mariah Carey may have, and more than likely, cheated when she sang All I Want for Christmas Is You at the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. Someone who was there in person posted a TikTok where you can clearly see a big screen with the lyrics scrolling as she sang, or pretended to sing, if you will. A spokesperson for Macy's said the screen was there so the audience could sing along, but it was never shown during the broadcast. In fact, Mariah was the only person who could see the screen. So the argument can be made that they were hiding it. There are other explanations, though. Some people on Twitter claimed that the screen was a fail-safe in case Mariah's in-ear monitor failed. Many musicians do that. So she didn't lose the where her place was. Or it could have been for the dancers so they didn't lose their place.
Yeah.
But if I did not see the broadcast. My mom was watching it and I asked her about it. And right away, like before I could even finish, she's like, oh, yeah, she was lip syncing.
Most of them are.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, this isn't a typical performance or anything. It's,
no.
You know, a parade.
In a parade.
I hate lip syncing, but I think that there's a reason for it. And there are times, and I'm not a Mariah Carey fan, but I'm not trying to come to her defense. But, you know, we have to be honest about these things, too. And if you're going to call somebody out, do it for the right reasons. Don't just call somebody out just because you don't like them. I think that you can see both sides of this. But I keep coming back to this, though. You can't be calling yourself the Queen of Christmas and not know your own song, because this isn't the first time this happened with her. This has happened a number of times over the recent years where she does not seem to know not only this song, but the lyrics to any of her songs. Now, Mel, and I don't want to put this on you, I'm just saying maybe you can speak to this better than I can. I'm not a singer. I haven't sang much in public. Not even like I've done a little bit of karaoke stuff, you know, and I don't count that.
Yeah.
There are certain people that go all in on karaoke that I would count, not people like me that just do it when you're drunk and you're just having fun with your friends and everything.
Yeah.
I've sang in plays, but as like a chorus. I've never had a solo or anything like that. As an entertainer, I can say, well, I've had like monologues where I have three different dialects I got to hit in there while I'm doing finding my blocking and doing a dance move. I've had to do that before. And that took a lot of training, a lot of work for me to do. Singers do this every single concert. They go out there and they sing and they have to know where their place is and all that and all these different things. It does seem understandable that somebody could be in that position.
It does because, singing, like acting, you have to memorize, you have to know where you're at, you have to follow the music, all of these factors come into it, plus the performance part of it. You have an audience in front of you. I don't fault her too much for having a screen. I think it's fine. And also, I really can't fault her for not wanting to keep those song lyrics in her head for as many years as she's been doing them. It's nice to just let some of that go sometimes.
We can speak to this, you especially, in the last month or so. When you finish a play, no matter how much you loved it, no matter how great it felt, no matter how much you still wish you could perform another show or a show after that, it feels so good to not have to go over your book and not have to go over your lines, to have that break.
I got to go to the library, James. I allowed myself to check out other books.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the current one, I just won because it's 750 pages long. But, you know, I, I, I have time to read for pleasure as opposed to, no, I have to go over my script. I have to memorize.
I've done this to myself since I was a kid. The first couple of days after a show, I'm still picking up my script and going over my lines, and it takes me a minute to realize, oh yeah, I'm crazy. Why am I doing this? I don't have to do it anymore. but once I finally get to that breaking point where I'm done and I don't pick it up anymore, oh, it is such a nice feeling. And I've never done a show that I didn't, or a part that I didn't, with a character I wanted to say goodbye to. It's never easy, but it does help when, you know, you have that part of it.
Yeah, can go back to some of your other likes and things you want. But I don't befault singers for not having their words down pat all the time.
Yeah, especially an artist that has multiple albums and that kind of thing. I think it's understandable.
But there are other people that deserve the title of Queen of Christmas.
That's nicely done, because that's what I wanted to get. That's the thing I have a problem with, actually. Trying to copyright that legally and everything, so it's like literally, in, you know, like if you say Mariah Carey's name, you have to say Mariah Carey, Queen of Christmas. Like, that's a little insane to me.
A little bit.
And
she's not royalty.
And false.
Right.
If I think of the Queen, if I had to say who the Queen of Christmas is, Dolly Parton.
Sure. Or the two that have been associated with the title too, Darlene Love, Elizabeth Chan.
Good names. Good names. And great references. I mentioned Nat King Cole earlier. I know he's not a woman, so you'd say the King of Christmas, and that kind of fitting, I suppose, in some ways. But, you know, there's so many, there's no wrong answers, except for Mariah Carey. Except, I'm just teasing. But I do like that as a poll. Who's the Queen of Christmas? That's a fun one. And speaking of Dolly Parton, Dolly Parton recently told the Tennessean, one of the greatest names for a newspaper there is. That's a great name. She told the Tennessean that she's opening a museum in Nashville within the next few years. It'll be part of a larger complex that she's calling Dolly Center, which might include a restaurant or a bar and grill. Dolly says this new museum would be in addition to her museum at Dollywood.
Cool.
I imagine that when they created Dollywood, they probably had some room for her, the rest of her career, but I don't think anybody could have imagined, including Dolly herself, especially as humble as she comes across, that, you know, her career would keep going and keep adding to it and everything. So you probably do got to put a new wing on the museum with all the stuff that's gone on since Dollywood opened up and everything.
For sure.
I like museums, and I think they're cool, and I like Hall of Fames. I find them interesting. Anything really that ties history into some of these things. I have to admit, I've never really thought about going to any of these places, and I honestly have never even thought about whether I would or I wouldn't go to Dollywood. Just pressing the question in my head right now, I'd definitely go. I'd check that out.
Yeah. Drop of a hat.
I think it would be kind of cool to just, you know, take a walk through there and everything. And I've always wanted to go to Tennessee.
It's a beautiful state.
It seemed like it'd be fun. I can't think of a lot of other things. I know that Elvis is like, Graceland.
Right. Outside. But then you have the entirety of Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. See, now that's what I would do. I'd be going there and I'd check out Dollywood or whatever, and then I'd just be hanging out in Nashville and Memphis and just check out all those areas.
Right.
Yeah, that is definitely on my bucket list. I got to do that. That sounds like fun, though. And just taking a quick look at what is new on your TV tonight. The Voice has their top 10 eliminations. There is an hour-long special, The Laughter and Secrets of Love Actually, 20 Years Later. They get the cast together from Love Actually. That is going to be at 7 o'clock tonight on ABC.
I could see a lot of people tuning in for that, because that movie got a pretty big following.
Yeah, I didn't. It's so interesting to me, the cult following movies get. And that you, of all the things that you can predict, box office success or failure or this or that, the one thing that the industry will never be able to predict is what's going to make Rocky Horror Picture Show more popular 30 years later than what it was when it came out.
Right.
What makes a movie Love Actually, with a celebrated movie that did pretty well, but it wasn't a box office huge success. It wasn't like Star Wars or something like that or anything. What makes these movies so loved by people? It's very interesting. There's a lot of cool like data and science that goes to it, and that is one of the bigger casts too. They got a really good cast with that movie.
They got a stellar cast.
And I have a class. I have two classes tonight, but I am going to find time to watch the CMT Crossroads. It features Robert Plant and Alison Krauss tonight at 8 o'clock on CMT.
Oh, really?
I got to check that out. I got to check that out.
I love that. Those two together are great.
Man, they so my house, my mom and dad owned the stereo, and they have their music that they love. And, you know, as a family, there were certain bands that not all of us liked. But Led Zeppelin was one of those bands where all of us like Led Zeppelin. All of us listen to Led Zeppelin. From 1 year old, I've been listening to them. Robert Plant is like the definition of a showman to me, of a lead singer of a band. And all I can think of when I think of Robert Plant is working with Jimmy Page and Bonzo, all the band, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, man, if I don't, when I think of Robert Plant now, if I don't think of Alison Krauss right next to that, it's like a 1A, 1B. They've been working together so long, and you're so right, Melissa. They sound so good together.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of funny to me when I hear some people say, man, Robert Plant, he's really good, but where's he been all these years? Why hasn't he been? The people that don't know he was the lead singer of Led Zeppelin and stuff. It's funny.
Yeah.
And the animated holiday special Reindeer in Here is on at 8 o'clock on CBS tonight. I don't know anything about it, but a new holiday special. That's kind of interesting.
Okay. A Christmas friend.
It's kind of interesting. And that is what's new on your small screen tonight. We will take a break, but before we do, want to encourage you to get your tickets for the upcoming holiday production from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, Miracle on 34th Street. It premieres December 9th. It'll be going on 9th, 10th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. 7 o'clock shows for all those. On Saturday, December 17th, they will also have a 2 o'clock matinee. And we encourage you to go to wrctheater.org to get those tickets. And be sure to be listening to Morning Magazine this Friday at 10:30 when we have the cast on and we'll talk about the show.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Melissa's News now. We'll come back and have some more fun with That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
From the Civic Media News Desk, here's a look at your local news. I'm Melissa Kay. U.S. District Judge William Conley has ordered Canadian Energy Firm, Enbridge Inc., and the Bad River Tribe to submit a joint proposal by December 17th to shut down and purge oil in Gas Line 5 that runs through tribal lands to avoid a catastrophic rupture. The risk of a significant rupture would affect the Bad River watershed and Lake Superior. According to WPR, Line 5 is nearly 70 years old and carries up to 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids 645 miles from Superior and up into Ontario every day. The section that tribal officials say poses an unreasonable risk to health and safety is located at the Meander. Bank erosion on the river is threatening to expose the line, which would cause rupture and the possibility of 20,000 gallons of crude and natural gas liquid spilling into Bad River. The closest shutoff valves are 14 miles apart in that section. Enbridge has proposed paying the Bad River Tribe an amount between $4,300 and $562,000 every year until they complete the 41 miles of pipe to go around tribal land. Tribal leaders are asking the court to reject this proposal as it would only incentivize the company to continue to trespass and the new line would never be completed. If no agreement can be reached by December 24th, Judge Conley has ordered each party to submit their own proposal by that time. The bill to codify same-sex and interracial marriage protections will soon be voted on in Congress. Senator Tammy Baldwin is a strong advocate for the bill, which is expected to pass both the Senate and the House this week with support from both parties. Conversations have become personal over the topic as most senators have family members, friends, or staff who would be protected if this legislation were passed. Democrat and Republican senators recently added an amendment to the bill to address certain concerns from some leaders about ensuring religious protections. Senator Ron Johnson has said he will vote no on the bill and doesn't feel it is necessary to codify same-sex marriage protections. Democrats feel differently after Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court, with Justice Clarence Thomas's concurring opinion that the court should reconsider its previous due process precedents. Workplace absences due to childcare issues are at an all-time high. This year's respiratory illness season started early, and kids are coming home from daycare and school with everything from RSV, with or without pneumonia, to colds, rashes, and even strep. Caregivers and families are struggling to find care or needing to stay home with their sick kids or try to work from home while caring for them. The recent pandemic has affected the way people think about illness, and people are more likely to stay home or keep their kids home when they are sick.
This has caused a change in how employers think about illness and navigate employee absences due to this. While some employees are enjoying more paid sick leave, workers in low-wage jobs have less workplace benefits, and childcare woes are adding a massive strain to their already difficult situation. This is the peak time of year for car deer crashes, and while the cost to repair a vehicle is high, supply chain issues are inducing more drivers to fix rather than buy new. Statistics for the last 2 years show around 16,000 deer collisions happen on Wisconsin roads each year. Vehicle repair shops say they are just as busy this year, with some already booked out until March. Deer are most active at dawn and dusk, with most crashes happening in November between 5 and 6 p.m. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids. We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with isolated rain showers likely. High of 40, winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows dip down to about 21. Overcast tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 24. A dusting of snow tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Welcome back, everybody. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:37 on the clock, getting into the Christmas spirit.
Oh, yeah.
Hope you all are having a great one out there. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. We've got some fun stuff to take you to the top of the hour. And we got a That Ain't Right story to kick things off. Melissa, do you have a go-to board game or a favorite board game that you love to play?
Oh, I've really been enjoying Ticket to Ride. Sorry, I had to turn around and look at what it was called.
I don't know if I know that one.
It's a train game. So it's and they have multiple different maps, but the original one was a map of the United States. And then they have different stations in cities all the way across the state. And you have to draw cards and then complete routes.
I like it.
With trains. It's fun. It's a really fun game because it's simple, but there's definitely a strategy.
Yeah.
Because other people can take your route between two cities, and if you can't complete between there, you have to go around that to complete your route.
Interesting.
So they have Europe, and they have the Nordic countries, and they have, I think there's even an Asia, and there might even be an Australia. I don't know what all of them, because there's so many now. But yeah, they're fun.
I would give that a try. That sounds
each map has its own different rules.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty cool one to me. Huh, interesting. I like that. Well, I'm a big fan of the game Clue. I like Clue a lot. I think that's a lot of fun. And I've always loved Monopoly. Monopoly is one of those games. It's more about the nostalgia it brings for me.
Okay.
It was a game that my mom and dad really loved growing up, so we as kids got to play with them, and we get to stay up late. And,
right, because the games go forever.
And we just have so many great family memories of it. My dad has always been really, really good at math. He's like a human calculator. So we always
Always the banker?
Always the banker. He's also untrustworthy. I'm joking. I'm kidding. I'm joking. He's one of the most trustworthy people there is, except for when it comes to competition. He would take a $500 bill and hide it under the board.
Oh, didn't everybody do that? Hide your money so people don't know how much you have?
He was the only one in the family. Well, he would take an extra $500 bill and do this. Never won a game. Never won one.
Did you have a piece that you always had to be?
I liked being the hat. I was like being the hat, but I was the shoe sometimes. But yeah,
I was like being the shoe.
The problem for us is we had the project version of Monopoly where we were missing a lot of the pieces. So we like literally had like a bullet shell as one of our pieces and stuff like things like that. But Monopoly was fun. We have these great memories of it, but it also could be quite the, you know, it'd start fights sometimes and stuff. And I don't know if there is if there is a board game that has caused more like inner family fights. Or more board games to be flipped up, you know, like, no, and you're frustrated and you flip the board in the air. I've never actually seen somebody do that, but, you know, in movies and TV shows and stuff. I believe Monopoly is the number one cause of this.
Probably.
So that brings us to our first That Ain't Right story and our feature That Ain't Right story of the day. If all the family time over Thanksgiving made you feel like you were losing it, hopefully you didn't actually snap like this guy. Police in Oklahoma arrested a man named John Armstrong on Saturday after a family game of Monopoly turned violent.
Whoa.
The family was drinking alcohol and playing Monopoly, which, look, you shouldn't drink and drive. There's no excuse in the world to drink and drive. You shouldn't text and drink. That's another thing you shouldn't probably do.
Nope.
Not as dangerous, but you probably shouldn't do it.
And dangerous to your relationships.
Yeah, yeah. and drinking and Monopoly really do not go hand in hand together.
Probably not.
So they're drinking, they're playing Monopoly when John started fighting with his stepfather. They knocked over the game board, turned over the furniture, and then took the fight outside.
Whoa.
At some point, John was cut on the head, and he responded by pulling out a gun and chasing his stepfather around the street. He didn't fire a shot, but thankfully he aimed it at the ground when he did. And no one was hurt. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing the story if this was too bad. John was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon and was sent to Tulsa County Jail. He did not pass go or collect $200.
Accurately.
It's unclear what the fight was over or how many hours they were into the game when it happened. I do love the idea of they were just setting up. they were just setting up. They were fighting over like who gets
to be
the hat. Or,
yep.
Yep. There's like part of this, though, isn't all our faults. Monopoly also is one of those there are certain things that every household has. Like, every house has that smell. Every house has their own smell to it and everything. Every house has certain rules to it. And every house has their own rules to Monopoly. Everyone.
This is true. Yep.
I don't know. I genuinely believe that nobody in history has ever looked at the instructions to Monopoly or the rules to Monopoly. I think that we've all been just like learning from whoever they learned from, and the people that actually wrote the rules. There's literally nothing in there. It's just a bunch of like jargon. There's nothing actually in there. It's like a Dr. Seuss novel. It's nothing.
Did your family put an extra 500 in the middle?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yep. That's a pretty ubiquitous house rule. Everybody does that.
So here's another one. But I think you're right. I think everybody does it. But you can tell the poorer families, because the poorer families put a lot in that free money. Like a lot in there.
Well, we put everything in there. Like all the everything you had to pay out of the cards and the chance and all of that stuff.
We did that too, but like, you know, you like the whole you pass Go, you collect $200. For us, if you landed on Go, $400. Like any chance
we got $500.
Nice. Yeah. See, okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Any chance to add to the pot, like raise money, like we were doing. Inflation was not a thing in Monopoly for us. We didn't care. Like the landing on Go thing, that's another rule. Like there's so many little rules that every family is different per family, per household.
Yep.
So it's kind of understandable that Monopoly would cause some arguments and everything.
For sure. But to that level, that seems a little excessive.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
He was arrested.
You can't. There's certain times where, you know, the culprit is the board game. And then there's other times where it didn't matter. They could be sitting down playing Uno.
There were some other issues.
Yeah. Uno could have caused this one. And I'm trying to think outside of Monopoly, the board game or game that has caused maybe the most arguments or fights. And I got to think Scrabble's got to be pretty high on the list.
Probably Scrabble might be up there. I don't know. Some of them are pretty cut and dried. It's not like you can get into a fight over a poker game.
You say that, but I can remember my dad getting bent out of shape about chutes and ladders.
Okay, now that you mention it, there were some euchre games in the past that...
I don't even remember what it was about. I just remember him being very frustrated about it. And like basically being like, all right, Jimmy, we're going to go play catch. We're done booing this.
To be fair to your dad, chutes and ladders is a very frustrating game because you could get booted all the way back to the beginning for what? Nothing. Landing on a square.
Candyland, another one. Candyland, another one. Like
that, when you get stuck in the swamp.
Yeah. It's almost taunting you because of like the everything is done in the kanji kind of like sweet ginger, you know, friendly way. But it's not
except that licorice guy.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, that guy. That guy. Yeah,
which was never fair because licorice is amazing.
Yeah, true. We will take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll take it to the top of the hour with good stuff coming up here on Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio.
To everyone who appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart, let our team member Emma tell you what's special about the Culver's way.
We take great tasting burgers seriously in Wisconsin. Favorite recipes, fresh ingredients, real Wisconsin cheese. It's a place where traditions matter. So of course it's where Culver's Butter Burger was born. Fresh, never frozen beef with a lightly buttered toasted bun.
What can we say? To us, it's a whole lot more than a burger.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Don't flip a coin and let the odds of heads or tails decide which bank you choose to work with for your home loan. Huddle with the mortgage professionals at Key Savings Bank, 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, and the town of Rome. You'll find experienced coaches who will help pull together your game plan. No out-of-bounds advice or pump fake offers. You just get that all-important home field advantage. Key Savings Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Key Savings Bank.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with isolated rain showers likely. High of 40, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows level off around 21. Cloudy tomorrow, highs level off around 24. A dusting of snow tonight.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Thanks a lot, Jen. We appreciate the updates. And welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 9:48 on the clock. Got some good stories of the day to take us right to the top of the hour, Mel.
Alrighty.
And a couple of these come to us, the first two come to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. Now, you hear me reference this all the time, thegoodnewsnetwork.org. It's not because they're paying me. Maybe they should after all this time, but no, I'm kidding. But I do want to encourage people to check out the website because while you've heard, like, by the end of the week, you'll have heard me do 4 to 5 of these stories. I'm only scratching the surface. There are tons of them there. They collect these throughout the world. They do incredibly detailed and good reporting on this. Actual reporting. I'm not talking about somebody just taking a sheet and reading from it. They hunt these things down and read and research and look into this stuff. And in this day and age, we have the certain abilities, certain options to us. You know, you don't just have to watch cable anymore or the dish. You can stream, or you don't have to just stream. You can watch cable. I mean, there's so many different ways to take options in entertainment and news. And I don't want this to sound like I'm taking a shot at the big news conglomerates or any local news stations or anything like that. They're doing what they need to get ratings, to get advertisers and all that. I don't care about their advertising. I don't care about those things. What I care about is the news. I like the news. I take the news seriously. And I am so dang sick and tired of the shock and awe news, of scaring people, of just covering horror stories, of the way we cover crime, of all these things. Like, all of it, it needs a complete readjustment. Now, that ain't probably going to happen. And if it does happen, it's probably years down the line. But right now, we can control our news. We can control how we take in news. We can control what we research. And this is why when we talk about false news or things like that, we encourage people to do their homework and research themselves. Don't just expect it to be handed to you. Information, it doesn't work that way. If important information is just being handed to you, chances are you should do digging into that.
Yeah, double check.
And I mean that about everything. I'm not just talking about all those things. Anything I say, go ahead and double check it. I encourage you to. I want you to. And maybe you'll find out something I didn't know, or maybe you'll find out more to the story than we were able to share. And they're also very uplifting. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I need a palate cleanser every day. And these stories, you can relate, right? I imagine you can relate, Melissa. So this first one, Mother's Love has granted 250,000 wishes for foster kids, and now she's surprising 9 with new cars.
Oh, wow.
Daniela Gletow is a hero. Make no mistake about it. Daniela might be the most famous foster parent of all time. 16 years ago, she became a foster mom, saying, "I wanted to be a mother to all these kids who might not feel like they have one." Within a year, she adopted one of the children, a 2-year-old baby girl. During the adoption, she found out she was pregnant. But instead of funneling her energy solely to her own family, she continued fueling her passion to help the kids in need. She set up a nonprofit, One Simple Wish, to galvanize donations from others like her who want to make an impact and bring joy to foster youth. Incredibly, over the next 15 years, One Simple Wish collected over $15 million to grant requests for over 250,000 kids and young adults impacted by foster care.
Oh, wow.
Wishes range from laptops and sports equipment to art supplies and music lessons, even travel expenses for an aspiring model to fulfill her dreams in a New York Fashion Week. Now, to mark the National Adoption Month, Gletow and her team gave 9 new cars to deserving adults who, in their youth, were impacted by the child welfare system.
Wow.
They flew all the winners to New York City under the guise of a foster care conference, just so that they could surprise each one with keys to a new car, along with a year's worth of insurance and gas.
Oh, my. Wow. That's awesome.
Now, I want everybody to do a little experiment here. This story coming from the Good News Network was just, let me see, this came out on November 27th. So it's been out in the news cycle for a couple of days. Anybody hear about this young lady? I shouldn't say young lady. She's probably my age, but this wonderful lady. Has anybody heard of Daniela Gletow? Anybody?
Nope.
Why is this not being covered? I'm not saying it's groundbreaking news that every single American needs to know, but isn't 90% of the stuff we see on news isn't that. Half the things they put on there isn't that. What would be the harm in including a great American like Daniel Gletow into our news cycle?
Mm-hmm.
The point of news is to share information, right? Get information out there. Sometimes it's to inspire. How inspiring is this woman?
That's pretty awesome.
She should be a household name.
Yeah.
We should know more about her than I do insert celebrity name, you know? Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. Another person that we should be a household name. A young man who started a window washing business has been cleaning road signs for free in his spare time to give back to his community.
Oh.
Liam Wildish, great name, great name. Liam Wildish, that's a good name. He started scrubbing signs in England, in Maidstown, Stone, England, earlier this year after launching his new window service. And he's already become a notable local hero. Some of the signs in Maidstow are in terrible condition, so when I pass them, I pull up and give them a clean-up, the 25-year-old said. I like to think it makes a difference to the appearance of the area and hopefully improves road safety during these long winter nights.
Yeah.
The young man from Nottinghamshire makes himself noticeable, always dressing in a red cap and in his bright blue company jacket, and his Facebook posts are including strangers saying they spotted him. But he makes sure that people can see him so he doesn't cause an accident or anything like that.
Or get hit.
But he's inspired many other people, including many young people, to do similar things in their towns, in their neck of the woods in England.
That's awesome.
So a really cool story. And again, 26 years old. Nobody asked him to do this. This wasn't a court-appointed thing. Nothing like that. Just young people stepping up and doing good.
Seeing what needs to be done and taking care of it. That's awesome.
This younger generation, they're not like just sitting back and, you know, well, I'm going to research. I'm going to find out how I can, you know, I mean, they're doing these things, but they're going to action right away.
Right.
They're just doing stuff.
There's no time to wait for them, especially.
I think every generation has people like this, but man, this generation, they just got an abundance of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is so cool to see.
Yes.
And some other good stories of the day, just kind of quickly go through some of these. A 105-year-old woman in Cherryville, North Carolina, named Laureen Summy, just had her first birthday party this month. She'd never had one until now, so her senior living center went big and line dancers and a pony and a visit from the mayor. She was also hoping to get 105 birthday cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that seems pretty...
That's a lot of birthday cards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 105 years old, I could see why she would want that, but that's kind of a stretch. That's a lot to ask for. Well, she ended up with 1,200 of them.
Overshot that just a little bit.
And this detail's fun, too. She's currently dating a guy named Joseph, who's only 66 years old.
Whoa.
Hey, now.
Cougar.
Hey.
Yeah.
All right. Lorraine is not only my hero because of so many things, but I appreciate that out of her. Good on you, Lorraine.
Nice.
Flip the script. I mean, we just make no bones about it if an older man is dating a younger woman. I said, Lorraine, we need more of this. That's great. Nicely done, Lorraine. And a Florida cop who doesn't know how to swim jumped into a retention pond in Jacksonville to save a drowning baby.
Oh, my.
This happened in June, but her body cam footage was just released. She pulled him out, did CPR until a cop took over. The video stops at that point, but the kid eventually started breathing again. There is a little bit of swearing if you do watch. There's the S word in it, understandably.
It's a pretty tense situation.
I actually think it's pretty like noteworthy that that's the only swear word that was in that. But,
man,
if you get a chance to watch this video... These dash cam things that are, I'm sorry, these chest cam videos, body cam are obviously, you know, important for a lot of, you know, recent stories and news, and those I'm not making light of or anything. But I think one of the cool things to come out of this is we're seeing a lot more empathy towards our police force and towards EMTs and firefighters because of these things, because people are literally in the point of view of this situation.
Right. They're actually understanding what they go through.
I any chance to create a little more empathy in our society for things like this, I'm all for it. let alone the accountability and everything else that comes with it, of course.
Yes.
And a 26-year-old cat in the UK named Flozy. Great name for a cat, Flozy. Yeah. I don't know why I like that. Flozy is now the oldest living cat in the world.
Aw, congratulations, Flozy.
According to Guinness, she was born on December 29th, 1995, so her 27th birthday is 1 month from today. We wish her
a very happy birthday.
That's
pretty old for a cat, yeah.
Now, at that age, you're still enjoying catnip, or has it like kind of run its course?
You good now?
You know, I don't know if it still hits you the same, you know? I'm not sure. You gotta wonder. I can't think of many ways to celebrate a 100th birthday or you know, in the equivalent of that for a cat, basically.
Right.
So we started talking about a wonderful lady celebrating her 105th birthday and this cat celebrating its 27th.
Is there cat years equivalent to human years? Like dog years is what, seven?
Yeah, right. So yeah, I don't know. And we got Katrina Hittner coming in tomorrow. Looking forward to that. That's certainly a good story, as we always enjoy our co-hosts. Something that Katrina brought up about having a quote of the day, I thought we'd wrap up on, Melissa.
Okay.
Dreams are the seeds of change. Nothing ever grows without a seed, and nothing ever changes without a dream. Debbie Boone.
Oh, that's good.
That's a darn good one. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are also our good story of the day. We appreciate you. Thanks so much for listening. Spread the word about all of our original content here at Civic Media, WFHR. Yeah. Download the Civic Media app. Tell everybody that you know that we're streaming 24/7. Take a listen, enjoy, and thank you so much for contributing to local radio. Appreciate every one of you. Mel, you have a great day.
Yeah, you too, James. Good show. Yeah.